Okay, had to take care of some technical issues there. But we're back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My website is crosstheborder.org. I hope you enjoyed the lengthy musical interlude there with the song Our God is a Consuming Fire. And I've always enjoyed that band. Okay, we left off. We were talking about Psalm 48, verse 1, and I'll just pick up there again since I lost my place. When all the phones start ringing, I know it's time to look at something else. So thank you all for calling in, and even if I don't answer the phone, I get to it. What fixing the problem, that is. Okay, Psalm chapter 8, 48, I mean in verse 1, a song and psalm for the sons of Korah. Great is Yahuwah, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. And I don't know if the psalmist was singing about Jerusalem. Perhaps the psalmist was, but Jerusalem, the city, has been, well, will be one day, will be the joy of the whole earth. And that'll be the day when the king comes back and he obliterates all of the governments of men, and his government covers the whole earth, and Jerusalem will be the joy of the whole earth. We look forward to that day, because that day I will have put on my immortality with all of those from all time, from all history, from the beginning, counting Adam and Eve, all the way to when that time happens. All of us will have put on our immortality, all of those of us who have trusted in the Creator's Redeemer. Verse 3, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them, and pain as a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of Yahuwah of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. And he obviously hasn't established it forever yet. Because I'll tell you what, when he establishes Jerusalem forever, when the times of the Gentiles, the time that Jerusalem and the Temple Mount are not being trod under feet of the nations, then the Dome of the Rock will not be there. That's right. There will be no pagan idolatry going on in Jerusalem whatsoever. It will all be cleansed. It will be all done away. Makes me think of this other false prophet out there who's telling everyone the times of the Gentiles. He calculated it. The times of the Gentiles ended, and he set some date. And I guess the scripture must be wrong, or, you know, because he must have something beside the scripture that he's looking for, because it still looks like the times of the Gentiles to me. I haven't seen all of the nations of the earth dashed to pieces so that they're blown away like the chaff from the threshing floor, so that there's no place found for them. That's ended. Well, nobody notified me. So, you know, like I said, it's all out there for you people if you want the false prophecies and the tickle-itching ears. Because so many people, they want an answer. And, you know, I understand that hunger. And they want an answer, but there's all these false teachers and false prophecy pundits out there that are willing to give answers. Somewhere deep down inside, I know that they know what they're saying isn't right. But they're willing to compromise just a little here and a little there on the Word of God, to just add a word here or to ignore that there because it doesn't quite fit in with the scenario. And they don't want to make themselves look bad. I'll tell you what, if I'm wrong, if I say something that's wrong that doesn't line up with the scripture, I want people to tell me. I want you to make me look bad. And then I'll make myself look good by repenting and saying I was wrong. Because that's what the true man of God does. That's what the those who love the truth do. They do the truth. That's what it means to do the truth, is to be teachable, to be correctable. So if I'm saying anything wrong here, I want you to challenge me, because I want to speak the truth. I don't want to be wrong. I want to be right, but I don't want to be right to the exclusion of the truth. I want to be right because I am teachable. So anyone out there, if I'm wrong on anything, correct me. Correct me using the Word of God. Get out your e-sword and show me. Let's carry on a dialogue and we'll see what the end is. Because you know what? The Scripture does say that the Word of God is of no private interpretation. So we should all agree. That's right. We should all agree. And if we don't agree, if I don't agree with someone, then I need to sincerely look at what they're saying. And I need to try it and test it and prove it using the Word of God. And they do too. But so many people I find have blinders on. I think there's a lot of pride there. I just want to make sure it's not me. Yes, we all have our measure of pride. You know, we're all men, so we have to be willing to acknowledge that and examine everything we believe, everything we hold to, whatever doctrines they are, and then be willing to lay them down if they don't measure up to the measure of His Word and the test of His Word. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. And we discuss how, yes, He puts an end to wars. Everything is in His hand. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of Yahuwah of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. And yes, He will. Verse 9, we have thought of Thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of Thy temple, according to Thy name, O God, so is Thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of Thy judgments. Walk about Zion, go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Make ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Chapter 49 and verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. All ye inhabitants of the world, all ye people, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, in the meditation of my heart, of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil? And the kind of, when it says, wherefore should I, it means, why should I fear in the days of evil? When the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. Your riches can't buy life. Your riches can't keep you from going into the grave. Verse 9, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the prudish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They shall call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, being in honor, abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. For their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Like sheep they are laid in the grave, death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. In their beauty, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Be thou not afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou dost well to thyself. he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. The psalmist, in so many words, and don't worry about the rich man around you, and the rich rulers of the earth, and the money masters, and those that wield the power that money gives them over the earth and over the people and the nations and the kingdoms, because they're just going to die. Their wealth, their riches keep their eyes focused on things mortal, yes, temporal. So their eyes are focused on those things. They don't get that eternal view. And if they do, they can turn those riches to some good use, because no man knows what's going to happen to all the things that he worked for. You know, I labor hard. I work hard. And I don't know who's going to get the things that I labored hard and worked hard for, and the things that I built during my mortal existence. One thing I do know is that they're all going to fall down and perish. Everything that I make is going to end up in the junkyard. That's right. All the automobiles, all of the houses, they're all going to fall down. They're all going to stop running. They're all just going to, you can't take them with you. And you can say, well, I'm going to give them to my posterity. But you don't know what's going to happen to them. The minute you die, they may be just like all the heathen out there. Gather like vultures to divide up the spoil and spend it all and waste it all and squander it all. I've seen it over and over. And if you've had your eyes open, you've seen it too. Especially with the kingdoms of this world and the laws of this world, their laws of inheritance and the way they divide things up aren't according to God's law of inheritance. His laws of inheritance are different. He meant for the oldest son to become the head of the clan and all of the clan's holdings. That's the law of God's inheritance. But the law of man's inheritance is a little different. They give it to the lawyers. And after the lawyers and the judges part it out to their friends and their buddies in business, yes, they part it out. The judges and the lawyers do. You better believe it. And then they send a pittance, perhaps, maybe, to the heirs. Now, don't do a will according to the kingdoms of this world, but look into setting up a trust and setting up inside that trust private law that'll divide or pass your inheritance upon according to the law of God. So we have that right under religious liberty. As long as we have religious liberty, we can do that. And that's what the rich people do anyway. They create trusts to transfer and save their property from the wolves of the Internal Revenue disservice, because they do a disservice to the family. Their object is to destroy the family, to destroy family holdings, to destroy family government, because they do not like competition, don't like it one bit. And it's all there in God's law. How you set it up today is a little difficult, but and for anyone who searches it out, well, it can be found out. I might steer someone if they emailed me in the right direction, but I'm not into that kind of business or anything helping, but I can just give some, well, I can tell you what I would do if I were you in your situation. If you want to do it according to whole property, according to God's law and how you set it up in this world. Yes, yeah, you still have to pay property taxes and things like that. I'm afraid there's no way around that. At least I haven't found any. If anyone finds a way around that, well, you just let me know, because I would like to know that one too. Okay, where are we at? Man in honor, yes. So everyone goes to the generation of their fathers. Let's just hope that your father is our heavenly father and you are walking in his kingdom and you're going where he wants you to go. Yeah, we've got one. Yeah, we'll just finish out the day wherever we finish off, and then we'll end that, and we'll move on to another book, and we'll pick up the Psalms later. We're in chapter 50. It's one-third of the chapters, at least, of Psalms. A Psalm of Asaph. And Asaph is the name of three Israelites, the family of the first. Asaph, or Asaph. The mighty God, even Yahuwah, by name, Yahuwah, the name of the Creator, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for sacrifices or thy burnt offerings continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. He owns the cattle upon a thousand hills. Does that mean just 1,000? No. It means all the hills. They're all his. Even if they're ours, they're his. Because he gives us what he gives us for our mortal existence. Any property rights we have are only in our mortality. Because property rights cease. Even man's law understands that. That property rights cease when you die. That's why they gather like vultures when you die to divide up the spoil amongst the living. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving. Yes, and what a beautiful sound. What a beautiful thing, true thanksgiving. And pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to declare to my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, when thou contendest with him, and hast been a partaker with adulterers, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. You do those things, he's saying, you slander yourself. These things thou hast done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest I was altogether as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, and that is conversation meaning the way you live, your lifestyle. When you order it aright, he says, will I show the salvation of God? And there is nothing more important than that you get your conversation right with him and cross the border into his kingdom. Live a life that is pleasing to the Almighty. We'll be back in a few minutes.